We usually start with a theme song that's very, very aggressive. I realized that's not always the best idea. And Annie Rock Falls has been opening and playing all the shows for us. So rather than me put angry yelling men into your skull right at the top of the show, I'll start with something awesome and then I'll ruin things. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Rock Falls.
I'd like to say that I'd be happy far away, but I know it wouldn't matter where I go, 'cause even if I packed up for the moon, I'd still be oh so blue, 'cause I could never hide from my memories of you. They say that springtime is nice and walla walla, I forgot the word, and that Rome can make a very lovely home. But even if I packed up for the moon, I'd still be oh so blue, 'cause I can never hide from my memories of you.
Rock Falls, everybody.
Thank you so much. I actually know the lyrics better than you. You played that on the first time you played the show.
I did.
And since then, I've taken that audio and played after every single one of these shows. So I've heard that song about 200 times in the last year.
Maybe you could take the audio from the other time.
No, I think it's cuter if we have it all fucked up and stuff. Hey, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Thank you so much for coming. It's delightful to see all of you. Let's talk about things that I don't understand anymore. They announced the Lollapalooza lineup last night, tonight, however you want to phrase it. See, if you're drunk, they announced it last night. If you're a normal person, they announced it today. Guess when I saw it. And it's fine. It's totally fine. And I was with a group of people that I respect, and I talked to some people that I respect, and they're all like, this is a shitty lineup. It's like, it's not for us. Like, just it's okay. It's taken a long time to realize not everything is for you, world. I know I'm a white guy. I'm from here. I'm a guy again. So I'm used to getting everything I've ever wanted and still complaining about it. That's not right. Some things are for the teens. Lollapalooza is for the teens. Esmeralda was here last night. We talked about that. And she's like, who the fuck is Avicii? Does anybody in this room know who Avicii is? One person. Exactly. He's one of the headliners of Lollapalooza. It's this 22-year-old kid that plays electronic music. That's fine. It's not for you. That's okay. And then, like, the rest of the headliners I've seen before. Red Hot Chili Peppers, they played Lollapalooza in, like, 2007. Did anybody see that show? Exactly. You don't. Why would you care now, 5 years later? I actually did see that show. I had a press pass, which means I wrote to the Lollapalooza people. Ooh, this could be a nice little tip for the kids at home. If you ever want to go to a music festival, don't pay, number one. Number two, send an email saying, I do this, this, and this, and you'll get this, this, and this out of it, and it'll be fine. There's this thing called Tumblr. Take some shitty photos and put them on Tumblr, throw some Instagram on there. It's a hit. They love it. They don't give a fuck. They don't know who you are. The changeover is so quick. I've gone to 6 Lollapaloozas, haven't paid once, dealt with 6 different young women, because it's always young women that determine the guest list. Like, just remember that in life. Don't ever pay for Lollapalooza. Anyways, moving on. The Black Keys, they're nice. They're a two-piece. You really want to see them with 200,000 people? No, that's nuts. Jack White, I don't really need to see Michael Jackson today. He looks like Michael Jackson. This is the third night in a row where I've mentioned that. Black Sabbath. Oh, it's the last time to see Sabbath. That's not necessarily a good thing. Just because you could see Black Sabbath doesn't mean they want to be there. I could almost guarantee you Ozzy doesn't know where he is. That's not a joke. That's just true. Tony Iommi, his solo stuff is better. His 2001 album called Iommi is actually better than the last 10 years of Black Sabbath. How do I know? Because there hasn't been any music for the last 10 years of Black Sabbath. They don't exist anymore. It's an idea of something awesome. That's okay. It's not for us. The dance tent is expanding. Do I look like someone that enjoys dance? Do any of you look like you're the kind of people that enjoy dance? There's maybe two people in here that enjoy dance for the right reasons. The reasons for me to enjoy dance are to fuck and take drugs. I got a fiance, so the fucking part's going to be really boring if we go to a dance thing. And the drug thing is like, I'll just drink in a dive bar. And that's why we do a talk show rather than me go to Lollapalooza. You need to figure things out, like what you want in life. And I figured out exactly what I want in life. Hi, how you doing? Tamale guy. Tamale guy. God damn it, tamale guy. Night three of You, Me, Them, Everybody Live at the Hungry Brain, the sixth Tamale Guy appearance. We had Claudio in here twice on Monday, so that's evening it out.
You should use the Tamale Guy as your like time limit. Like the second the Tamale Guy comes in, over.
We started the show in our 15-minute period, like at 9:05, 9:20, and then whenever we started tonight, almost the like midway point of every monologue, the Tamale Guy comes in. It's timed perfectly. Exactly. Because my plug was not nearly as good as... I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Have a good night. This can't be legal. Like, there's no way any of this is legal. I know we've accepted this, but this is not legal in any way. But we're all putting booze in our bodies, so what does that say about us? I want a world where I could, like... My ideal Lollapalooza is having someone like Annie, like, make her play the songs I want to hear behind me. Then I talk about my dick for 20 minutes. Then I put a lot of booze in my body. Then I'll see a garage band in a place like this or actual garage. Like I want to see Mannequin Men play in a garage. Then go back to the stage, talk about my dick some more. Put more booze in my body. Then see Daniel Knox, and then he'll make me want to kill myself. And I'll love it. And then we'll just go to bed. That's my ideal Lollapalooza. I don't need to spend $230 to deal with teens. And there's nothing wrong. There's everything wrong with teens. They're the worst people in the world. Thank you so much for coming to the show tonight. We have an amazing lineup. Esmeralda is the co-host. Annie is is a house band. Ooh, we have a house band for one person. It's awesome. We have Anna Fernand, who's from the Red Eye. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. Put your hands together for Anna. We have stand-up comedian Allie Clayton. We have Think Tank, who are fucking great, and I'm so excited that Deadbeat is here. Annie, will you play another song?
Yeah.
Will you remember most of the lyrics?
I think so.
Even you could make it jazzy. We have jazz here on Sundays. Just make noises, and people love it. They have whole festivals with the idea of making noises that don't make sense.
I'll play a sad one.
Play a sad one?
Yeah. Oh, the bad dreams come all too often, but the good ones, the few ones are sweet. Stay asleep. Singing to me in my old house by the windows, where the birds nested every spring, and now you sing your songs about the girls that you love, and I listen with a smile on my face. True, they're so beautiful, the tales you tell, but they're not for me, and how can I compete when I can't even speak to lie or to confess it all? To see today except you, but I know better, just be patient for what may be coming soon, 'cause from this far away, how could you know how I'm feeling when you're up close to look at me? Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Esmeralda, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. We're adjusting microphones. That's
that it?
That's okay. Good. You sound great. Esmeralda's the co-host, which means we talk about news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to you since you were talking about teenagers.
Yes.
And age and all of that.
Yes.
I was on the street today and I saw this really old dude, really old man. I want to say 80.
So the opposite of a teen.
Yes.
Okay.
But he looked so cool. He was wearing a little Frank Sinatra hat.
Okay.
He had on a shirt and a tie that looked good.
Okay, sorry.
Well, no, because he could have been wearing a disgusting puke green brown tie, like old people do.
Okay.
And then he was wearing dark wash jeans that fit right.
Yes.
And sneakers.
What kind of sneakers?
I don't know. They're just black.
Okay.
And he was smoking a cigarette. Made him so cool looking.
So the key to that story is don't die. Keep smoking. Wear sensible shoes.
I actually was thinking that. I'm like, this kind of goes against all those things about smoking.
Yeah, yeah. Where did you see him?
Because he looks awesome. It was down like Gold Coast.
Okay.
On Lakeshore Drive.
All right, all right.
But he looked so cool, and it was making me think of, you know, how at a certain point in time and age,
mm-hmm.
you wear terrible clothes.
Okay.
Like, you see a lot of old ladies wearing really ugly outfits.
I think this is more to do with you being raised in the suburbs.
No, because I've seen them here, and they're rich old ladies, and they look terrible. And I just want to know, when's the time? What age do you just go, meh?
Married.
I'm just going to wear crazy things now.
Married. 46. Says Annie.
Like mom jeans.
Yeah.
Those ladies were not wearing mom jeans when they were in their 20s.
Well, they didn't have a weird pouch in their 20s.
But you don't got to wear those things.
Well, I mean, if you want to wear jeans and you have a pouch, they're going to become mom jeans. I don't care if they're form-fitting. They just are mom jeans.
No, because they make your butt look pancake-like and
that's just
funny.
That's just their butt.
No, jeans can do powerful things, like hold up butts and tuck in pouches.
To an extent.
Yeah, should really buy them.
You need a system of like levers and pulleys to really make a difference.
They just need to take some time and dress fine, and they should learn from this old man. And dress cool.
So we're lecturing teens and moms tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's...
I want to be that old man because I'm scared. I'm scared I'm going to turn into that weird old lady.
Well, just
who wears
don't do that.
Shirts and cat things.
Do you smoke?
No.
Do you wear hats?
I want to.
Why don't you do those two things first and see what happens?
Because I'm scared. Yeah, that's the smoking. It'll snowball into something.
Yeah. Yeah, being cool.
Oh, yeah, it is cool.
Isn't it?
As much as everyone tells
me. No, it's the coolest.
It's so cool.
It is. All things in moderation.
Yes. So I was looking at stories and
all of that.
You sound
so sad about that. You said, we don't have to do that. We could do something. What do you want to do? You sound so sad. What do you want to be talking about?
It's just like 3 days of looking for stories. It's really hard. I don't know how those people who do that every day do it.
Didn't you do this every day on morning radio?
Not really.
Okay.
I wasn't doing it.
All right.
Somebody else was. No, so I found this article, and it made me think of you only because of your last name. And it was an article on how last names affect your decisions in life.
Okay.
And this is because they did a study on these people. You know, when you're little, you know how they always put you in alphabetical order?
Yes.
And that affects you somehow when you're older. It makes you do, it's not really crazy things,
mm-hmm.
but it makes you have rash decisions.
Okay, so
at least the people in this study, they tended to go towards that way.
My last name started with a W, yeah. So I was always second to last in line, always in front of Kristen Zangara for grade school. So, like, I was always that. So what does that say about me?
Well, I was talking to you earlier, and I told you that, you know, the people who did have the, you know, the last name issues,
mm-hmm.
they tended to be rash with, like, because now that you're an adult, you have control.
I do.
So now they just do whatever they feel like.
That is true.
And when there's deals, like in stores, they jump on them because they're scared that they're going to end.
I'm a fan of deals.
Before they can get them. And what did you say?
I thought I was a fan of deals just because I was poor.
No, but I just loved your whole, like, I get so excited.
I do. I love grocery shopping to find the deal. I'm serious.
That's really weird.
Why is that weird? That's sensible and reasonable.
You're going to turn into one of those coupon ladies.
No, I don't use coupons because that's crazy.
Wait, so you just get excited when you see a 2-for-1 at the supermarket?
If it's reasonable and I could use it, absolutely. I will deter. I base my meal of the evening on what's on sale.
How does that turn out?
Very well.
Disgusting.
How is it disgusting? You don't even
know
what I'm buying.
Because you could end up with some weird things.
Just because it's on sale doesn't mean I buy it.
You're gonna have to Iron Chef it.
That's just called cook. That's just cooking. All that show is cooking. You're talking about cooking. People to cook.
Yeah, but when you have weird things.
What kind of weird things do you think I'm buying?
I don't
buying?
Know. You could get like it'd be a sale on.
There's a sale on mushrooms at the store over there. So if I was still living here, I would have bought mushrooms. How was that crazy?
Yeah, but I'm sure there's other deals like on oatmeal.
Well, I don't have to mix them. Actually. What's wrong with you? I don't have to mix everything I buy that night.
So what? You're just gonna eat mushrooms?
No, it's an ingredient in a dish. As you said, Iron Chef it.
I just imagine you don't have anything until you go and you buy these certain items.
You're completely right. Food does not just generate in a kitchen. I have to go out and bring it in. That is correct.
I know, but if all you do is deals, then you would have to, you know, finagle something weird.
Yeah, like it's just...
Yeah, see?
Listen,
do you cook with Faygo?
No, because I'm not a teen, and I'm not from downstate, and I don't love ICP. I've never bought Faygo, not even as a joke.
I've actually never seen it.
We had
like
it here
in a
once.
Supermarket.
It's there. It's 3 liters for $1.
Oh, wow.
I know prices.
Yeah, you know the deals.
I know the deals. I'll just not drink soda.
So, since you love deals so much, maybe we'll find you a good job.
What?
A job. Wait, if you had money, would you still find the deals?
Yeah, because it's not
Or
really
would you just be like, whatever, I'll buy the expensive mushrooms.
It depends on what I'm... If I'm cooking for myself, no, I'm going to go cheap. But if I'm cooking for other people, absolutely.
Oh. That's nice. You care.
Yeah.
You take time.
Yeah.
But not for yourself.
No, I don't care.
You really should take for yourself.
Self-care is
One
important.
One of those days, buy yourself the expensive mushrooms.
Thanks.
Go crazy.
I might. I'll spend that extra 50 cents.
Buy some portobellos.
That's a little bit too
the
fancy.
The manakis.
Ooh, manakis. Just
know.
The name.
I know. Mm.
I eat that with the oatmeal that's on sale.
Yeah. You could probably do something. Sort of encrusted something or other. I don't know.
Next story, please.
So this website, careercast.com, came up with the list of the best and worst jobs.
Okay.
I think it's a little skewed because all the best jobs are things like software engineer.
Good.
Financial planner.
Okay.
HR manager.
Okay.
Dental hygienist.
Okay.
And an actuary. And an actuary just figures out probabilities of death and things like that.
Yeah.
Like car accidents. And,
yeah, I've seen Fight Club. I get it.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's the best job.
Yeah, I know that.
But then you're going to go into a Fight Club.
You don't have to get into a Fight Club. Once again, just because it's on sale, just because you're an actuary, you don't have to be in a Fight Club just cooking mushrooms.
But then the worst jobs are like lumberjack, dairy farmer, soldier, oil rig worker.
Oh, soldier's the worst.
No, my favorite is reporter.
Yeah.
That's down there.
That's my lady. She's got an awful
shitty-ass job.
It is an awful job. She's overworked, underpaid, and everyone she talks to and deals with is fucking drunk
every
night.
But that job, it's not like you just fall into being a reporter.
It's not like you fall into being a dental hygienist either.
Well, you can.
Or a lumberjack.
They got a lot of those commercials on TV for being dental
hygienists. Once again, just because you take the class doesn't mean you get the job.
But they help you. They give you job placement.
Nope. That's okay. Nope, that's not how it works. Oh, no.
But that's how the ads work. That's what they tell you in the ad.
Just, no.
That's why there's so many of them.
That's
a lot of dental hygienist assistants. And...
That's not reality. Next story. Do you have another story?
What about, okay, on the list was astronomer.
That's a great job.
I know. It was really low on the list, like 50-something.
It's probably because there's probably way more astronomers than there is demand for astronomers.
Astronomer?
What does that mean?
Again, and
you
it was...
You just said the same thing in a different tone.
No, but I mean, it was really low on the list, meaning it's not a... It's a very bad job. It's
yeah,
not a
because,
good job.
Yeah, because it's hard to find work.
See, now, in my head, this story, I'm thinking the jobs that are miserable.
No!
Like, people are just hate those jobs.
No, I think you can enjoy any job. If you truly like being a janitor, you could be a great janitor, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No one wants to be a janitor.
People like, what's wrong with clean?
Wrong with you?
What? There's nothing wrong with being, if you want to be a janitor, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people want to be.
No one wants to be a janitor.
Here's a good example. Some people want to be cops, right? Some people actually want to be policemen. See, I think that's the worst job ever. So I don't
ever
want
to. Yeah, but there's no.
I'd rather be a janitor than a cop.
I compared a cop and a janitor.
Yeah, one actually helps the world. Guess which one? Seriously, guess which one? Which one prevents disease and makes things clean, and which one beats the shit out of minorities?
Although sometimes I bet you they reuse that water in that bucket.
So what?
And then it's dirty water.
It's a bunch
water.
Of bleach. You put more bleach in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm basing my entire knowledge of janitors on the fact that Kurt Cobain and Chris Novoselic had a janitor service for about 2 months in Seattle in 1987.
They were businessmen?
Yeah. Kurt Cobain drew up flyers for their janitor service.
Oh, God.
Is that it? Is that all the stories we had tonight? All right, great. You couldn't have done better. I'm very happy.
Shut up! I gave you that story of that 80-year-old man. I should have taken a picture of it.
That's not a story. That's an anecdote.
Yeah, but then it parlayed into the whole teenager and age and... Shut up.
You know, the show stops if I shut up, right?
I did good.
You did good. I was saying that. And now you're mad at me for complimenting you. Coming to the stage, she writes about sex. She's a cool lady. I try not to say anything lewd because her parents listen. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Anna Fernot, everybody. Anna, come on up. How are you, Anna?
I'm delightful. How are you?
I keep forgetting that, like, I have a crazy booming asshole voice, and most people are nice. Nice and
I've got a big loud laugh, though, so you've got to even that out.
Oh, no, that's staying loud and clear. So, okay, I asked you before the show, what do you not want to talk about?
And, you go, and I see that there's a book on your desk called Love and Sex, so yeah, I feel like I know where this
that's,
is going.
Yeah, exactly. So you write about sex for the Red Eye.
I write about dating and relationships.
No, that's sex.
Sometimes that encompasses sex.
Okay. You're very pro. What are you laughing about, ladies? Everyone on stage is laughing right now, and I'm confused. Speaking of confusion, what's the most common question you get based from your column?
Well, I mean, for a while it was a lot of guys trying to date me, but now
how
I've
did
got
that
a,
go?
Well, not well. But now I've got an amazing boyfriend, and it's different now.
How did you two meet?
We actually, well, I met him after a show. He's a rapper. Show You Suck. He's amazing. And
wait, if he's so amazing, don't say his name the quietest possible. Show You Suck.
Show You Suck.
Follow him on Twitter. If you amazing. Follow Anna on Twitter, you definitely know who this man is because you tweet about him about 10 times a day.
He's really amazing.
This is a new relationship, right?
Kind
of. It's so obvious. Like, you're so happy to be with him.
I'm really happy to be with him.
Good luck.
Thanks.
You're dating a musician.
He's a rapper.
That's a musician. Did you just call him not a musician?
No, I was just saying that, like, you know, he's a rapper. That's it.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Let's get into this.
Let's go back to where we were going to.
Yeah, sex. We're trying to get to there. Okay. So, like, you met him after a show.
Yeah, so I met him after a show. He's friends with some of my friends, and he had a really great set at Cobra. And I was like, I'd heard of him before. I'd seen him before. And I thought he was really cute. And I introduced him.
He is cute. He's here tonight.
I know, he's super cute. And so he was really good. And I wanted to go and compliment him. I said hello. I introduced myself. And then my friend introduced us also. And then several months later.
You said that with such anger in your voice.
Because several months later, we were talking on Twitter. And
that's nuts.
Nope. And I brought up a Drake lyric, and then after that, he asked me out, and I'd actually made a New Year's resolution to never go on a date with another guy who only knew me online. And turns out, someone only knew me online.
You met him in person, number one.
He didn't remember me.
Well, did you say a Drake lyric when you met him?
No.
Because if you said that to me, I'd try to forget you. Why do you like Drake? Why do you like bad things?
I do really like Drake, though.
Why?
I don't know if he's handsome.
Is he? He still looks like a teen. Well, he still looks like the crippled
kid.
Wait,
kind of weird. Because he's handsome?
He looks like he's skinned Lionel Richie.
No, the weird thing is, though, he looks like my sister. I have two adopted sisters.
And they're both dudes that are sisters?
No, they're both black women. And this my older sister looks like Drake, and we recently discovered
Did you tell him? Like, you guys talk about this. Like,
yes, we've talked about it already. Because, like, we've discovered that I go for men that look like
so my you're sister. You're attracted to your sister.
She's beautiful.
I've noticed. Of course, any lady that looks like Drake. Why do you like Drake?
I don't know. We talked about this already. He's handsome.
No. But you can't listen to his face. You have to listen to his music.
Do you really?
I don't know. You're the one.
There's a mute button.
Do you just watch Drake videos on mute? You're like, play that Sprite commercial where his head bursts apart again. That's how you might know Drake, hipster bar. So you write about sex and dating and relationships and all that. What do your parents think of this?
Well, they're actually very supportive. They like the fact that I'm using my writing skills and
you're getting paid writing.
I am being
paid
writing.
How did that happen?
It's not my main job though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, this red eye isn't my main job.
What's your main job?
I'm a social media specialist.
Is that why you have over 2,000 Twitter followers?
No, actually, well, that's how it started. I realized that people respond to my voice and then it kind of came from there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a voice more like yours. It's like positive and people like it. No, it's true. You did a show with us last year and we did a round table. Esmeralda was fucking great as essentially the announcer.
I read things.
Yeah, you were great. But you also said quippy things and people liked you. So it was Esmeralda in the background, literally, Anna sitting next to me, and three drunks and me just screaming about shit. And the only two people that looked good were you two. And I realized, oh, it's because there's just three drunks screaming.
Well, she also had notes.
I had notes.
She did her
homework.
Yeah,
she prepared. And
I come prepared. I graduated high school early. Like, I got really high scores on my SATs and ACTs. Like, I'm a studier. That's what I do.
Has it actually paid off in any way? Where'd you go to college?
I'm here. What?
Once again.
Where'd I go to college?
Yeah, where'd you go to college?
I went to school at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland.
What?
University of St.
Andrews.
No, I
heard you. I'm
Scotland.
Confused. Did you write about relationships and sex? I'm assuming you wrote
there?
Yeah.
No.
How does one stumble upon this?
Well, actually, you brought up Twitter. I was very good at Twitter, and I had a lot of relationships that way. And I kind of I started talking with the editor at Red Eye, and they had an issue about festivals in Chicago, 50 Fest,
which you're a big fan of.
Very big fan. And I tweeted them. I was like, oh, kind of jokingly, I was like, I'll go to 50 Fests. And I'll tweet about them and I'll like do videos and whatever. And they wrote me back right away and they're like, if you're serious, come in and have a meeting. And I came in, they found out I wasn't weird or crazy, and then hired me to do that, and I did it for the summer. And then after that, I had a huge following. They knew I was really fun to work with, and they also knew my dating stories. And
yeah.
So they had a spot for a dating and relationship blogger, and that's kind of how this happened. And but it's really been the role I've fulfilled for my friends my whole life.
Like the shoulder to cry on type of thing?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I'm always the girl that like they go to for advice, and I don't know why, but it's just kind of fallen that way.
Do you like hearing these stories?
I don't know if it's that, but I'm also just somebody who sees things really clearly. So if you have, like, if you're like, well, this guy, blah, 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 and I'll just be like, well, obviously it's this and this. And I think a lot of people either don't see it so directly, or they're not as like confident to say things.
Okay.
But also, like you were saying, I'm very positive.
And you are.
I try to think that anything can be changed. You can make any situation the way you need it to be. It just kind of takes you either making a super big effort, like not everybody has to make as big of effort, but sometimes you do, and kind of take it from there.
What advice would you give a teen?
Like, well, that's not very specific.
Oh, they're all dumb. Just pick. I'm a teen. I really like this girl. I don't know if she likes me. Should I ask her?
Well, actually, I think my teen years were really awkward.
Yeah, they were called your teen years. You like Drake.
Really,
what does that say?
I didn't drink when I was...
No, Drake.
Oh. I feel like you should... The teen years are for discovering who you are. So you should take all the leaps you should. So you like someone and they're cooler than you are. I did a lot of asking out guys that were not really cool.
Really?
Yes. And it failed. It was so bad. But it was part of like how I kind of became who I am now. And who I am now is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to take those risks so that you can heal from the wounds and grow from those.
That is so positive, and you literally laughed over your own advice.
I'm sorry. I laugh a lot.
That's awesome. No, please, please come every goddamn show. I need you in the audience. Okay. I don't care about relationships. I'm done. You know, I'm getting married. I'm done. I don't care. We're cool. But you do something that I don't understand, which is go to festivals by choice.
Oh, my God. I love festivals.
Why? What am I missing? Have I gone to too many? Have I just have a bad attitude?
But I'm dating a musician, and I like that sort of, like, vibrant, live group feeling. Like, I'm always the person in the front that's, like, being part of people, like, carrying people over and, you know, just being really into it. I love that. I like people sweating on me. I like, which is, it's, I know. It's really weird. I don't know why. But I like being part of that heaving mass. And I don't, like, I'm not even, I wouldn't call myself, like, a music expert, but I am a live music scene expert. Probably.
Who's someone in Chicago that people should know about?
Show You Suck?
Besides Show You Suck.
I would say probably Augie the Ninth is pretty great.
Keep going.
I don't know. You're putting me on the spot. Like, this is the thing. Like, I don't know when you tell. Oh, actually, no. Hollywood Holt's amazing.
Okay.
Mano's amazing. Anybody in Treated Crew is amazing. Murder Club is amazing. I'm totally just name dropping all my boyfriend's stuff.
I just love. I just love the way you could hear her smile when she said Murder Club. Like, that's never been uttered. I'm a pretty lady. Murder Club's the best. That's so nice. All right, what do I need to do? What could renew my spirit for the festival season? Because I don't want to go to any, but I'll probably go to a few and then just bitch about it like an asshole.
Well, I feel like my favorites are not going to be your favorites.
Why do you say that?
Well, because the things I like are the big heaving masses. So I love Due to Vision. I love Wicker Park Fest. And those are like, that's the...
Here's the thing. I like almost all the bands that play those festivals. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to see them in a setting like Lollapalooza. Well, like, now, I do like the street festival setting. I really love that you could just come and go as you please, you just completely miss a set, and you don't feel like you've missed anything. Mm-hmm. But the Lollapalooza thing, there's a lot of great bands playing that I honestly enjoy, but I can't imagine enjoying myself. What can I do to change that besides, like, needle drugs?
Drink more.
See, the drinking more doesn't even help because then you're just miserable and you want to keep drinking and you're like, oh, I'm too hot and sunny.
Yeah, I know. I don't feel like I've ever gotten drunk at a street fest because you're... I try.
You're like 18 pounds.
I try.
How are you not drunk?
I try really hard, but it's because you're like hot and you're moving and you're active.
So I gotta move. That's the thing. Not just stand there with
my arms
crossed.
Yeah, you gotta get really into it. Like, just think about yourself. Like, forget all your responsibilities and just get into it.
You live in like a magical world.
I do.
Don't you? Like, nothing. Oh man, it's so. I really want to go negative, but it's like really hard with you. You're
positive,
so
mental.
How do you deal with the toilets?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because I can't take it.
Well, actually, one time. Okay, so when I was doing my 50 festivals, I remember being at I think it might have been Wicker Park Fest, and I really had to go. And I went, and I had to wait in this big, long line, and I got into it, and it was like dripping like a cave. Like, there was just stalagmites and stalactites coming out of everywhere. It was, I came out, I was crying. It was so awful.
You just laughed over a war.
She loves
like
her misery.
I like to laugh.
Show You Suck. You found a keeper. Good on you, sir. I'm trying to think if I could actually sour your mood in any way. I don't think it's possible.
You met my parents this weekend.
How'd that go?
Well, I'm half German and half hillbilly.
Okay.
So the hillbilly part is my dad's side, and I'm from Iowa, so that side comes out real strong.
So you're the whitest possible you can be.
Yeah, you know it. And
you know it. No, I don't know it. That's racist.
So we got to my parents' place. We drove home, and within the first hour of meeting my parents, meeting my my family, my sister arrives, and within 15 minutes of that, there was she has this big giant dog. It was barking at my dog. So we have two dogs barking at each other in the backyard. And then my dad starts talking about how he cut down everyone else's trees. Like, there's this big feud. And then my little sister doesn't want to wear shoes to walk around the block. and then they made Clinton, drag my 14-year-old dying pug around the block in a radio flyer with a members only jacket laying on the ground.
That's very cute.
And that was his introduction into my family.
Seems fine. That's nice. That's nice. Everyone kind of wanted to be there.
It was, yeah, it was.
Would you ever move back to Iowa? Don't roll your eyes at me. So I found the one thing that will make you not happy is moving back to Iowa.
I don't hate Iowa, but it's where I lived. I lived there for 17 years, and I feel like they have a lot of opportunity for it to grow. It's just not where I
do. They have a lot of opportunity.
Well, actually, no. I mean, Des Moines is really cool. They have all the things that would make a great city, just not the populace of people to make it interesting.
So it's not a great city.
It's beautiful.
just take out those stupid people in there and put better ones in.
It's not stupid. There's just not enough people.
Say one thing negative.
Oh, you suck.
No.
Kiss
I don't
my
think
butt.
You kiss my butt. That is so cute. Oh man. I wish I shouldn't talk about this. Okay. Trying to not Merle, I'll tell you off mic later because it's real lewd.
Oh no, tell me.
No, absolutely not. Even though you're in a sex column, I'm not telling you. Okay. Where can people find your stuff?
I'm at
www.http really?
:// www.
Isn't it /?
I don't know.
It's /. Sexy. No one's going to get anywhere with these backslashes.
You were talking over my...
I'm trying to send them your way, and you're sending them to give computer commands. We need to be on the internet. First of all, you need to open your AOL. Plug in your modem. Check your mail.
Too far ahead. Prodigy.
Prodigy. Web crawler. What other reference could we say? Okay. It's at what?
AccidentallySexy.com or follow me on Twitter at AccidentallySexy minus the E in sexy.
Just, I'll link it on the show description. So.
Sweet.
Yeah, why do people spell that stuff wrong? Okay. We're going to close this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex, by Gregory Stock, PhD. It is truly an awful book. I need you to pick a number between 104 and 187.
23.
104 to 187.
I only picked my birth number. 52.
Once again, 104 to 187.
123.
123. There you go. That's been taken. You get 121. How much of your enjoyment of sex comes from giving pleasure to your partner? Could you enjoy yourself if you knew your partner took literal pleasure in the experience? Once again, feel free to lie.
Literal pleasure? What does that mean?
Too little pleasure.
Oh, too little pleasure. My mom listens to this. So
feel free to lie.
I'm going to do a more general.
There you go.
General dating columnist. So I feel like you need to give pleasure to receive pleasure.
That's fair.
Right. So, so just really hard for me.
Think of it as just somebody who's writing in.
Okay.
It's not you specifically, but it totally is you.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, of course. How much of your enjoyment of sex comes from giving pleasure to your partner? Could you enjoy yourself if you knew your partner took little pleasure in the experience?
Okay. So I feel like it's sex and dating and relationships are kind of like we were posing for a picture. I feel like sex and dating relationships is kind of like it's kind of like a game, no matter, like anything you do is kind of like a game. No, wait for me. So you want your pleasure bar to always be high. So if you're looking at somebody and they're you can kind of see their energy dipping. That's not, I don't know where I'm going with this. This is not the sort of stuff I answer. So.
We're not helping at all.
No, it's getting worse. Okay. Let me try this again. Can we edit this?
You get paid to do this. You know that.
I don't
right?
know. I don't get paid to talk about sex. This is different.
This is a relationship question.
Okay. Here's the thing. So I am, we're starting again. So I am somebody who likes to make sure that the people I'm with are enjoying themselves.
Good.
Right?
Yes.
So it would really bother me if, like, for example, if I made dinner for you.
Yes.
And you were like, this is disgusting. I would really be bothered by that.
What awful human being would say that?
Some people say that thing.
You need new friends.
I don't anymore.
There you go.
Fix that.
So the answer is yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Follow her on Twitter. Thank you so much for doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Anna Furnot. Hey, everybody. Thanks for downloading the show. I appreciate it. This is the part where I tell you to support our sponsors. One of our sponsors for this 4 nights of shows at the Hungry Brain in Chicago, Illinois, is Half Acre Brewery. Yes, I finally am living my dream. I'm giving away beer. Beer that I like, beer that I like drinking, beer that I like sharing with others at you, me, them, everybody. Half Acre, if you're not from Chicago or you don't know about good beer,
is very good beer. They have a brewery. It's almost in the Lincoln Square neighborhood. It's 3900 Lincoln. It's super easy to get to. They have brewery tours. You can go there and get growlers. You can get Gossamer. You can get Daisy Cutter. They gave us this new beer I've never even heard of. It's called Overale. I've heard of Overale, but they're Overale. I had it for the first time this week. It's my new favorite Half Acre. It's got these cool owls on there. I love this beer. I love this brewery. I am so thrilled. I am elated to say that Half Acre is an official sponsor of You, Me, Them, Everybody. Go check them out online. There's a link to their brewery /beer, whatever. That doesn't really help. Just buy them. They're good. It's in cans. It's good. It's the best, all right? That Dos Equis guy, that's weird. Instead, they sponsor shows like me. That's cool. Yeah, they could have done this with a sports team or a sports team. They could have done this with anybody. They chose us, and that makes me very, very happy. So I should come up with a tagline or something. I don't have one. Here's all I'm saying. Drink the beer. It's good. It's the kind of beer where you could bring it to, like, the in-laws, and they're like, ooh, someone's fancy. And it's the kind of beer you could drink during the baseball game, and you're not feeling all shitty and it's old style. And there's nothing wrong with old style. Just drink the Half Acre, okay? It's good beer. Drink the beer. It's delightful. And ladies like the beer. I don't even know if that's true. Every woman I know that likes this beer, they're cool. But I only hang out with cool ladies because, I mean, I drink Half Acre beer. That's an awful tagline. It's halfacrebeer.com. Thanks to Half Acre. Now back to the show.
Coming to the stage, he's a very funny stand-up. Ladies and gentlemen, give your eyes, give your ears. Please put your hands together for Allie Clayton, everybody. Allie!
This isn't awkward at all with three people sitting behind me. Happy to be here, guys. It was weigh-in day at Weight Watchers. So I've officially lost 17 pounds. Thank you, thank you, thank you. By that, I mean that I attend the meetings and have been taking 10 times the amount of Adderall I'm actually prescribed. But that's cool. I'm wearing jeans now, which is awesome. I was only wearing skirts for a while because about 3 months ago, my roommate comes up to me and is like, Allie, I just need to let you know you got a camel toe every day, which wasn't really the look I was going for, which basically means that I've lost 17 pounds in my vagina. It was, thank you, thank you. It was really intense. It was sandwich in the mouth, to the lips. real panty explosion there. But it's cool, it's cool. It's gotten a lot better. Aside from that, I have decided to go back on antidepressants. Thank you, thank you. After being on them for 10 years straight, I was like, hey, maybe I don't need these. So I stopped taking them, and then after spending 3 days doing nothing but laying in my bed naked, eating SpaghettiOs, masturbating, and scream crying while watching TLC, I realized maybe this isn't what the other ladies are doing. So decided to start taking those pills again. If you haven't noticed, I'm not from around these parts. Nope, just now noticing? Cool. Originally born and raised in Durham, North Carolina. I love being from the South. I got to go home for a lovely trip back home to North Carolina recently. It was like so great. I only got called a whore 5 times, air high five, by my mama. She's a pretty good lady. One of my favorite memories growing up of my mama is, ladies, you'll remember this age. I was around 7, and it was the age where if you didn't have a Cabbage Patch doll, then someone might as well fucking kill you! It was really intense. I wanted one so badly, and every Walmart in North Carolina had been checked, and they could not find one. But finally, they found one! But upsie-daisies, it was black. So when I went downstairs to open it on Christmas morning, I was like, oh! What's wrong with my doll? And my mama goes, it's Hawaiian! So I went around for the next few years, and every time I saw a black person, I was like, aloha! Aloha to you! Everyone in North Carolina thought I was either racist or retarded. No, I'm not. I'm actually a pretty decent person. My day job is that I take care of a 24-year-old autistic man. I know. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know. Big camel toe, big heart, Allie Clayton. No, we have fun. I love being from the South, and I love going home to the South. Like, every time I go, the weather is absolutely amazing. Like, this past trip, I swear, like, the weather report every day, it was like 70 degrees Fahrenheit with a 99% chance of racism. Which is totally cool, because hate hurts a lot less when you're warm. it's completely true, guys. One of my favorite racist moments of being home has a little backstory to it. The backstory to that is that I dated a lady for my first time this year. Hey, flannel. I did. I dated a lady. She was Asian. And the only person I told there for a while was my sissy, my sister. And every morning she would basically call me like a week before I would go home and be like, hey, how's it going with Mulan? What's up with you and the Asian princess? And so I ended up, me and my Asian princess, we broke up, and I get home, and we're going to open Christmas gifts, and I look underneath the tree, and there sits a Chinese takeout box with chopsticks hanging out of it, and it says, to Allie. And I open it up, and it's got Kung Fu noodles, but over top of the Kung Fu noodles has been whited out and written, please enjoy this puss-puss platter. So that happened, and my oldest brother, who's the racist of all, goes, oh, shit. Oh, fuck. What's this mean? You're dating an Asian man now? And I'm like, And the thing is, he was like, well, that's a lot better than the black man you were dating. And the thing is, like, he's just referencing one black man that he knows of. Like, if we're going to be completely honest here, folks, in 2011, I definitely fucked two black men, a white guy and a real feisty Puerto Rican. And for a while there, I was pretty certain that I was going to start a new foundation called No Dick Left Behind. But then I dated my Asian princess, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm ending racism via my vagina. Which is just so good for me. You're welcome, America. When I first dated a black guy in 2011, the only person I had told back home was my sister. I called my sissy and I was like, sissy, I'm dating a black guy. And she goes, what the fuck? How the fuck does that even happen? And I was like, well, I was at a bar and I saw him sitting over there and I just liked him and I walked right up to him and I was like, aloha! We went home, had sex, and ate Hot Pockets. I'm Allie Clayton. Ask me some questions.
Yeah! Allie, thank you. Sit You're down, welcome. Please.
You're welcome.
I really hope you end every one of your sets with I'm Allie Clayton, ask me some questions.
I do.
Do you have an album?
Do I have an album?
Do you have an album?
Well, of I your love material. My favorite one to listen to is Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel. one of my favorite tunes.
Your album?
Mine.
Do you have one?
If you just recorded this, feel free to put it on a disc.
I will.
So the answer is yes.
Well, that's funnier than anything I was going to say. Allie.
Yeah.
What brought you to Chicago?
Oh, you know, a love for the stage. let's see. Well, I wanted to fuck people outside of my own race.
It's going well.
Yeah, it's going really good.
Well, you live in Uptown, so you could fuck literally the United Nations. It's nice. You just got robbed in Uptown.
I did recently get robbed. It was very scary. By a black and an Asian man. Where did they meet, right?
Maybe at your apartment.
That was good. That was really good.
Kind of a callback. I'm assuming your parents have not seen your act.
My parents have seen my act.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My daddy, this is what he does.
Do you really honestly refer to your father as your daddy?
I do.
That's great.
I do.
Keep going.
My daddy, after he saw me do a joke about dating a black man for the first time, he called my mama the next day and was like, "Hey, just want to let you know, if you saw them jokes last night, that's just materials. She's a writer. She makes that stuff up to get laughs."
And you obviously did not.
Oh, what? Make it up?
Yeah.
No, I really fucked a black man.
And your parents have the internet.
Oh, they're not real good at that
good,
stuff.
Good, good, fantastic.
My dad actually, he wanted to watch one of my videos, and he was like, "Listen, I pressed this YouTube, and I'm on it, and I don't see you anywhere."
So all we need to do is get you to the front page of YouTube, and your dad could finally see your entire set.
It's like, he just goes to the front page of YouTube, and it's like, "You're not even on it."
Yeah, we can make that happen. This podcast has that kind of power. Yeah. I don't know where to go from here. You both make me very happy that you're performing stand-up and never wanting to have a daughter at the same time. I don't know. How do you maintain that those locks of yours? They're very, very long hair.
I do have very long hair.
Sorry. I'm laughing at the stupid question I just
asked. I did beauty pageants as a kid.
That's so great.
And all the mamas, they would whisper about me and say I was wearing hair pieces, but I was not.
Do you think that's why you're a stand-up?
Because I did beauty pageants?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. There's probably lots and many reasons that could be one. My parents are both drunk, entire childhood.
No offense. I've never seen a not drunk drink a Bud Light by choice in a bar.
A not drunk drink
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. You gave me that beer.
Yeah.
And,
I gave you a... That sounds awful. I asked if you liked alcohol. You said yes.
Yeah.
I asked, do you like beer? You said yes. So I gave you a half-acre beer.
I did, and I drank it, and it was lovely. I do have to go drive an autistic man and get him up in the morning, and that one felt like it might give me a little bit of a headache, and I didn't want to take 3 BC powders in the morning, so I figured I'd drink me a Bud Light.
Has anyone approached you about calling a football game?
I mean, what would I do?
Just talk about what's going on in the field.
Like, "Hey, we got the tight end. He's going to catch the ball, flick it to the flicker."
Yes, exactly that.
I really have zero about football, but I would definitely be interested.
All right, cool. Next time I'm in town on a Sunday and there's a game, I'm going to set up a system where you can call the game and I'll just watch you call the game.
You know what? I've been trying to figure out how to meet ladies.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And so, but I hear they all like joining these sports teams. They love playing softball and soccer and football. They join these lesbian leagues. But I'm not very into sports, but maybe I could just like call lesbian football thing.
Yep, because that exists. There's a lot of announcers for lesbian football leagues. It's a giant market we're trying to tap into. Well,
you let me know.
I will definitely let you know.
Okay.
Where can people find you online?
Oh, AllieClaytonComedy.com.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Thanks for not saying the WWW part.
You're welcome. I knew that made you mad.
It does.
Also, I'm doing a play at Chemically Imbalanced Comedy tomorrow night if you come. It's called Johnny's Theater. If you come tomorrow night and say at the box office, "Your mom's a whore," you can get in for $10. That's a true thing.
That's because it's mostly improvisers, right? Like the performers at Chemically Imbalanced. So they think things like that are funny.
They think insulting parents
is very funny. My mother
is a complete whore. I don't know if you've seen her. She wears Victoria's Secret pink jumpsuits.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with pink jumpsuits that say pink on the butts? What's wrong with that?
The problem is that my mom's butt cheeks hang about midway to her thigh.
So what? She's comfortable. You think a pair of jeans are going to fit? No.
Nope.
What else are you going to wear?
Listen,
Victoria's Secret, they're terry cloth.
They're very fuzzy. If you want her number, I'll give it to you. She'll tell you all about her fibromyalgia.
Please say that word again.
Fibromyalgia.
There you go. I need you to pick a number between 104 and 187.
Okay,
it's not a math problem. Just pick a number. You're going to do great. I believe in you.
180.
Did you sing it because you wouldn't have been able to say it without singing it?
Sometimes I sing
180.
Things. I was actually really pissed when that New Girl show came out with
Say her name. No. Say your name.
Zooey Deschanel. And she sings shit, and I'm like, I do that all the time. You totally stole that from me, Zooey Deschanel.
Please record an album and name it. You totally stole it from me, Zooey Deschanel. 181. This is from the Weird Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Steck, PhD, a truly awful book. Have you ever loved deeply enough to be willing to sacrifice your own life to save your lover's? If so, when in your relationship did your feelings reach that point? If not, do you think you will ever feel that strongly?
I have felt that way about a dog.
That's cute.
I have not felt that way about anybody that rubs my parts.
I don't think the people in the back heard that.
I have felt that way about a dog. I have not felt that way about anyone who rubs my lady parts.
Put your hands together for Allie Clayton, everybody.
Bridgeport Coffee Company was named the number one coffee house in Chicago by Time Out magazine, probably because their terrific artisanal roasts are complemented so well by their down-to-earth attitude. Try it yourself at 31st and Morgan in Bridgeport, or at fine retailers like Whole Foods or Jeans in Lincoln Square, or check out BridgeportCoffeeCompany.com.
Esmeralda and I are going to get off the stage and turn it over to some guys that I'm a big fan of. Here's the thing. We don't usually have a lot of sketch on the show because it doesn't usually translate for audio. But I think that these guys can do it. Think Tank does a lot of different things. They have a web series. They perform live all over this great city. And they do it in not your typical place. But tonight, because it's a podcast, they are going to take advantage of the opportunity and give us a live feed to the Think Tank Radio Network. So without further ado, I'm going to get off stage and turn it over to Think Tank. Put your hands together for Think Tank, everybody.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Think Tank Radio Network. I'm your host, Clive Case, and this is Slice of Life. As always, Slice of Life is brought to you by our sponsors, Pajama Ham Sandwiches. Pajama Ham Sandwiches, go ahead and put on some pajamas and try our ham sandwiches. Pajama Ham Sandwiches, Pajama Ham Sandwiches, put on some pajamas and try these ham sandwiches. Slice Life is also brought to you by Many Mumbling Mice, Pest Control Agents, and Musical Improv Troupe. Many Mumbling Mice, call about the pests, stay for the improv. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been getting a lot of hot email action about last week's episode of Slice of Life. We had a lot of interesting guests involving controversial heir to the Fish Henderson Dad Slacks throne, Fish Henderson III. Let's listen in.
Well, I have a confession to make. Our pants don't stay dry, and they can get hooked.
Oh, all right. As all of you know, Fish Henderson's dad slacks, the claim is they're waterproof, and they don't get hooked. We also had guest Plop Willowsby. Plop Willowsby is an overworked, underpaid customer service agent at Burlington Coat Factory. Let's listen in.
Oh.
That was Plop Willowsby, an overworked, underpaid customer service agent at Burlington Coat Factory. We also had Crunch Bradshaw, former jock and current job seeker. Let's listen in.
Once I took a shit in a kid's helmet.
Okay, and what are your job qualifications?
My name's Crunch.
All right. And of course, last but not least, we had guest Black Panther, Cletus Miller. Let's listen in. Cletus, it's great to have you on the show.
Black at you.
All right, but let's get on to this week's show with our favorite new segment, Apple of Our Eye, where we focus on a new immigrant to the United States who's doing good. This week's guest is Vladimir Maximov, a recent immigrant from Russia who's opened a diner in Paris, Illinois, named It's Dead, Now Eat. Vladimir, are you with us?
I make talk now.
Okay, Vladimir, what made you open a diner in Paris, Illinois?
I make many murder, and then country make leave, me go.
Okay.
I don't give shit.
Okay, Vladimir. What exactly made you open a diner, though? It seems like a very specific career choice.
No, mini finger broken on man. He said, stop, take restaurants. So I said, okay, I don't give shit.
Okay. If we were to come down to it's dead now, eat Vladimir, what would be the best dish on your menu?
Today we have severed hand meatloaf.
Okay, severed hand meatloaf. What does that taste like?
Delicious meatloaf covered in red sauce over meat potato. Looks like I cut hand on meat. I don't give shit. Sit down, fuckbag.
Okay. Thank you very much, Vladimir. That was apple of our eye with a recent immigrant. Now we go to everyone's favorite, crotchety old man with sports. Crotchety old man, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right. Give us an old update on Chicago sports.
Taze's head busted. Rose's body busted. Cubs team busted. Sox busted. Ozzy busted for being a communist sympathist.
All right, crotchety old man. If there's anything you could ask for, what would you do to change things around here?
I just wish we could go back to 1985 when we had hope and my children still talk to me.
Okay. That was crotchety old man with sports.
What?
Speaking of sports, we're now going to go to the Coach's Corner with Uncle Snickers. Uncle Snickers, are you with us?
I sure as hell am.
All right, Uncle Snickers, now you have an interesting coach position. What is that?
Well, I am the twice champion coach for the Doonertown Cougars. We are, the preeminent win-lose or draw team here in the region.
All right, and Coach, I've got a little sound snippet here from your most recent halftime speech. We're going to cut in. You're a little fired up. Here we go.
You G-D-S-O-B-M-F-ers! You G-D-S-O-B-M-F-ers! Never in my 16 1/2 years have ever seen such a poor display of sportsery. I don't care if you're 13. Stop crying. Don't coddle the boy. Unbelievable.
All right, and that was Coach's Corner with Uncle Snickers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here at Slice of Life, we realize that every town has a town creep. We've tracked down Lombard's own town creep, Slick Jim Biggins. Jim Biggins, are you here with us live? Jim Biggins?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, Slim Jim Biggins, what are you doing right now?
Oh, just bathing in gravy. Oh, gravy bathing.
You're gravy bathing, is that correct?
That's right. It keeps the calluses rough and the hair slick.
Okay. Now, some of our listeners, Slick Jim Biggins, don't believe that you're really a creep. So I'm going to give you a creep trivia question. You ready?
Okay, no tricks.
You're going to have options A through G, so listen up.
G.
Here's the scenario. There's an old lady waiting in an intersection. What do you do?
That's easy. Just kick her in the cooch.
Ah,
D.
You got it. You got her. Kick her in the cooch. D.
I wrote that test.
Ah, well, that would make sense. Thanks a lot, town creep.
Hey, just remember, I do kids' parties.
Oh, you truly are a creep. Good to hear from you, Slick Jim Biggins. Oh, look at there. Who's on the line now? It's themed restaurant commissioner, Doc Houlihan. Doc Houlihan, are you with us?
I sure am.
Doc Houlihan, can you tell us about the new restaurant you've opened in town?
Oh, well, it's called Alligator Splintation.
Okay, what's that all about?
Well, it's a gator-themed restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can come in and have gator-themed enjoyment.
Oh, okay. And what kind of food do you have at this new gator-themed restaurant, Doc Houlihan?
Well, thank you for asking. Every day, I'd just like to let you know we have specials on all of our appetizers. For instance, like fried catfishers, fried zucchiners, fried leathered beefs. Fried beef leathers. Well, of course, gator. You can fry it in the same part of gator. It's delicious.
That's a good point.
Oh, I'd like to also let you know that we now have our king's table, which is actually a cacophony of four different gators put together. So you actually eat inside the belly of a gator.
That's very interesting.
It's
Thank
delicious.
You, Doc Houlihan. Oh, this news just in. One of our sponsors has been pulled. This is hot off the wire. Yeah, it looks like Pajama Ham Sandwiches has been pulled because their ham sandwiches are full of glass. More about that later. All right, but now we're going live to traffic person Trace Sanders. Trafe, how's it looking out there?
Yeah, everything is fucked. There's fire. There's things in the street just turned over upside down. It's screwed. Oh, look at that, though. 2-for-1 sandwiches at Potbelly's.
Nope, that's good news. Thanks, Trace Sanders. And all right, now we go to Frank Spangler. He's our beat on the street with, it looks like, oh, yep, we've got Frank Spangler out at a nursing home bowling championship right now. Frank Spangler, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here at this nursing home.
All right, Doc.
Thanks for sending me here and not in the studio with you like you promised.
It's okay. Frank.
Are you my Charles? Are you my Charles?
Absolutely not. It's bowling
oh my
here.
God, Deborah, my Charles came to the bowling tournament.
It's not really bowling. They're using a beach ball and plastic pens.
This is the
Everyone has a score of 300, and my wife is leaving me, Clive. It's something you told her. It's something you told her.
All right, we'll check back in with you, Frank. Sounds like you're having a great time over there, Frank Spangler.
It's the greatest 1956 I've ever lived.
And last but not least, we've got interior decorator for the insanely rich, Snail Flumpkin. Snail Flumpkin, are you there?
Snail is here.
Snail Flumpkin, can you give us some tips for interior decorating this season?
The season's obviously moving much faster these days. Now with the new internet growth and people acquiring billions from other billionaires. For instance, the young gentleman who just sold the Instagram application to the Fatchy Book brought me in to help design his newfangled home with the recently acquired billions. So I suggested what he do with his eighth pool is to fill it with gold doubloons.
Ah, that's a terrific suggestion. Thank you very much, Snail. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, this just in, hot off the wire. Our sponsor, Pajama Ham Sandwiches, has been replaced with Pajama Mam Bandages. Pajama Mam Bandages. Put the bandages on your mouth because they're full of glass. All right. And this just off the hard wire too. Looks like our guest from last week, Black Panther Cletus Miller, has a new TV show called Black Atcha. Make sure to tune in next week at 8. As always, I've been Clive Case, and this is Slice of Life on the Think Tank Radio Network.
Think Tank, everybody.
Hey, everybody. This is Saki, the record store in Logan Square. We want to talk about Record Store Day, Saturday, April 21st. I don't have a lot of time, so I've got to go quick. More than 100 Record Store Day exclusive releases. Starting at 1 p.m., we've got a whole day of band performances. Chirp and Girls Rock Chicago will be coming out to play games and hand out prizes. We've got ticket giveaways. You can use your receipt to get discounts at shops around the city. Special hours are 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., so don't sleep in, but don't get up too early either. Saki is 3716 West Fullerton in Chicago. Learn more at sakistore.net or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, everybody. I'm Deadbeat, and I'm going to play a few acoustic songs for you tonight. This first song is called Accident. When the stars don't wait for the earth to rotate, they keep on shining in the sky. And the bees don't wait to pollinate, they got lots of flowers to try. I'm sitting outside looking at the force of nature. Quite a lovely thing. And every time you trip is an accident. Is an accident, do you think? Thank you. bees are inside, they're into their hive, they're flying along their way. I'm sitting all alone, it's a Sunday kind of day. It's a Sunday kind of day. It's a Sunday kind of day.
Thank you. This next song is called Last Track. concussion. Yeah.
I wanted to point this out. You just went into your set. I didn't even give you an introduction. I love Deadbeat. She does something really cool. It's myimaginaryrecordlabel.com. Go there. Go to myimaginaryrecordlabel.com. If you're listening at home, it's in the link in the podcast description. And she also makes posters for every show, and she has my favorite posters in the past few years. What she does is she writes the information of the show on a piece of cardboard, takes a photo of that cardboard somewhere, and that's the poster. Is that correct? Like, is that a decent description?
Yeah, yeah. I just find something in the alley and take it out into the city somewhere.
It's awesome. It's so great. And where's... Hi, Annie.
Hi.
You need a mic and a thing.
So this song is called There's Nothing Wrong with Misery.
Thank you.
your mind like you asked me to. These shaky knees are like family. I live a life like I wanted to. This song is called Nightcap. Back in my apartment, I enter through the door and I put my shoes away. Laundry on the carpet, dinner on the stove, and I think about the day. It's on the knee. Put a little light on my brain, on all the old familiar ways of my heart. Try to figure out all those things I should attempt in my life instead. Conversations, situations, destinations, back. Thank you, guys.
I really, 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 really enjoyed your set. Thank you so much for being part of this. And I hope we didn't, well, I know she didn't, but I hope we didn't ruin it with the plane. Deadbeat can be found at myimaginaryrecordlabel.com, Friender on Facebook and all that good stuff. I really am so glad you play this. You're more than welcome to come back whenever you want. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I agree. Clap. She deserves it. She's great. Obviously, thank you, Think Tank. one of three sketch groups in the city of Chicago that I enjoy. So thank you so much. I really enjoy that. Allie Clayton, good luck with the parents. I appreciate you doing the show. You're very, very good. Anna, I kind of feel like I should thank your boyfriend more than you. Thanks for putting up with that, sir. I really appreciate it. You're a good man. You seem so happy together. I just hope everyone... I'm not. This sounds saccharine and bullshit, but it's true. I hope everyone's as happy as you two. You're literally glowing with like positivity and stuff. And thank you, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow night for our final night of night four of You, Me, Them, Everybody Live at the Hungry Brain. Thank you, Esmeralda. She's not even here. That's perfect. She doesn't even smoke. Why isn't she in the room? I know she's I see her boyfriend here who we gave a... whatever. Hi, John. How you doing? Good, buddy. I'm worried about you. Like, your physical safety. I'm physically worried about you. Rock Falls, Annie, thank you once again. Will you come back tomorrow night? Of course. Let's keep it that way. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.